The main section of the shiur this evening is devoted to the hakdama to Matan Torah and to a number of comments on the Aseres HaDibros. But before we get to that, let me just refer to one or two items that are particularly worthy of attention. The opening pasuk of the Sidra. Vayishma Yisro Chohein Midyon Chosein Moshe Eit Kol Asher Oso Elokim LeMoshe Uli Yisroel Amo Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisroel Mi Mitzrayim. So Yisro hears all that Hashem has done for Moshe and for Yisroel, and also that Hashem has brought out Bnei Yisroel from Egypt. Of particular interest is that the pasuk contains two different words for Hashem. We begin with Eis Kol Asher Oso Elokim LeMoshe, and then in regards to Mitzrayim, we say Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. So the question is, why has the pasuk changed from Elokim to Hashem? Let us look, first of all, at the words Eis Kol Asher Oso in Rashi. When Yisro hears all that Elohim has performed for Yisroel, Rashi points out to a number of items. Yeridas Hamon, Be'er, and Amolek. There is a very beautiful explanation suggested by Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. He draws our attention to a Tosfos in Gemara Brachos. The Tosfos raises the following question. When there is a minyan for Birchas Hamazon, the word that we add in Zimun, is Elokeinu. Nevorech Elokeinu, Shiochalnu Mishalo, using the word Elokim. When there is a minyan which allows us to have Kriyas HaTorah, the name of Hashem that we invoke is Hashem. Baruchu es Hashem HaMevorach. So the Tosfos asks, why is it in regards to Birchas HaMazon that when there is a minyan we speak about Elokim Midas Hadin, and when there is a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we invoke is Hashem, which is Midas HaRachamim Midas HaChesed. And Tosfos answer in the following way. Mandi Yohiv Chaya Yohiv Mizona. If God has brought us into the world, then surely justice demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us food without which life cannot be sustained. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us into the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created life, Midas Hadin demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the wherewithal to be sustained in life, to have life. So therefore, when we are thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having given us food, which he is, quote-unquote, obligated to give us, the word that we use for Hashem is Elokeinu Midas Hadin. But God was not obligated to give the Torah Dafka to us, and if he did so, it was Mitzad Midas HaChesed, the Horachamim. So therefore, when we begin Kriyas HaTorah, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we invoke is Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavodah. That's the Tosfos. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a situation, Midas Hadin demands, again quote-unquote, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the wherewithal to be sustained in that situation which he has created. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not obligated to do something for us and does it for us, then that is already something which pertains to Midas HaChesed V'Horachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us out of Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring us by way of the Midbar. Is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a situation whereby we are not able to avail of the ordinary means of survival because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken us into a desert, into a wilderness. So Midas Hadin demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the wherewithal to be sustained in a situation which he himself has created. So when we are speaking about Eis Kol Asher Oso Elokim, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obligated to do mitzad midas hadin, then, says Rashi, I know what they are. They are the Mon and the Be'er, because without the Mon and the Be'er, we would not have been able to survive. And man the Yohiv Chaya, Yohiv Mezona. And furthermore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu led us out that way and wants us to be free, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzad Hadin was obligated to fight on our behalf against those nations that rise up against us. So Elohim embraces not only Mon, not only the Be'er, but also Amalek. If you are asking, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu obligated to take us out of Mitzrayim? There are many nations in slavery who have not been brought out to freedom by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nisim and Niflaos, the likes of which no other nation except ours has ever seen. So when you're speaking about Yetziat Mitzrayim itself, then you have to say, Ki Hotzi Hashem, Midas Harachamim V'Hachesed, Ki Hotzi Hashem, Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That is the interpretation of Rabbi Yosef Nechemya. And what becomes most beautiful in the light of this comment is that, as everybody knows, there were three phenomena which accompanied the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Mon in the Zechus of Moshe, the Eir in the Zechus of Miriam, and the Yalan HaKavod. So why did Rashi make no mention of the Yalan HaKavod? Because Rashi is commenting on the word Elohim. And Elohim represents what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, quote-unquote, obligated to do for us, having brought us out of Mitzrayim. He's obligated to sustain us in life. But we don't need the Anan HaKavod to be sustained in life. The Anan HaKavod contributed absolutely nothing to our daily needs for food and for drink. So therefore it is most interesting in the light of what Rabbi Yosef Nechemya has said, that the one item which has been omitted from the trio, as it were, is the Anan HaKavod, because that does not fall under the heading of Elohim. Now we move on a little bit. Yisro, as we know, arrives to Moshe Rabbeinu and to the Bnei Yisrael and makes the following comment. After having been informed what it is exactly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for Bnei Yisrael, Posuk Yud Aleph, Ator Yodati. Now I know, says Yisro, having heard what you have told me, Ki Godol Hashem Mikol Hu Elohim, that Hashem is greater than all the other gods, small g, Ki Vadovor Asher Zodu Aleihem, because in the matter which they Zodu Aleihem. Now what does the word Zodu mean? Well, Rashi says of the word Asher Zodu, Asher Hirshiu. So the way Rashi would translate the verse would be, because in the very manner in which they wanted to do evil to you, it was done to them. As Rashi points out, Bamayim Gimuli Abdom, the Haim Nevdu Bamayim. They wanted to kill you by water, and they were killed by water. So Rashi translates Asher Zodu, Asher Hirshiu. The Targum Unkelis, if you see there, on the words Asher Zodu, says Targum Unkelis, Arei bepisgomo dechashim vu mitzrore lemidan yos Yisrael veidinun. In the very plans which they had intended to do against Yisrael, were they punished. So the Zelbel Brisker asks, what is the Targum saying? That Yisro is announcing, now I know that Hashem is greater than all other gods, because even in the matter which they had intended to do against you, it was done to them. Says the Zelbel very beautifully. I've printed it, but we'll just say it out. Balpe. The Zelbel says like this. We know that there were many plans that the Egyptians wanted to do to Bnei Yisrael, which for one reason or another did not come to fruition. We know furthermore, and it's a tesis in Kiddushin, that where Bnei Noah Goyim are concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers a machshav ro'o, an evil intent, as if it has actually been initiated. Machshav ro'o mitzalef olamaisa. How do we know what the Egyptians planned? We don't know. Only three people knew. The Gemara in Sotah, Daf Yud Aleph, says that when Pharaoh planned the final solution, he called three people, Bilam, Eiv, and Yisro. So Yisro now comes, and he hears in the greatest detail exactly what types of punishment were visited on the Egyptians. So Yisro says, I can now appreciate the omnipotence of God, of Hashem, because I was one of the people, one of the three people who were summoned by Pharaoh in order to plot against the Jews, and I can tell you, and nobody else can but me, that not only did the plagues visit on the Egyptians and Pharaoh, midah keneged midah, for what they actually did to the Jews, but they also visited midah keneged midah in every area where they had plans against the Jewish people, and it did not come to fruition. So if you want to know, says Yisro, why it is that I know, ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim, that Hashem is greater than all other gods, the answer is, ki badover asher zodu aleihem, as Targum explains it, even in the area where they had plans against the Jewish people, which nobody could have known about except me and two other people, I can testify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has visited upon them midah keneged midah, not only for implementation, but also for intent. So this is one or two comments on the opening perek of our sefer. The major inyanim this evening, and they are heavy inyanim, but nevertheless, nobody said the lukos were light. Let's have a look now at perek yutet. Very, very special material, and I guarantee a number of inyanim which are not well known, or as well known as they should be. Perek yutet. What we have in perek yutet is like this. It is a period of preparation for Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai to receive instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him those instructions. He returns to the Bnei Yisrael and gives them those instructions. Goes up on the next day to receive more. And so one has this constant to and fro from Har Sinai El Ha'om as a preparation for the ultimate day, which is the day of Matan Torah, the day of the giving of the Aseret Hadibros. Pasuk Gimel. U'Moshe Alo El Ho Elokim. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to HaKadosh Baruch. Vayikro Elov Hashem min Hohor Lemor. And Hashem calls to him from the mountain and says, Ko Somar Leveis Yaakov. So shall you say to the house of Jacob, V'sageid Levenei Yisrael, and relate to the children of Israel. What does Rashi say on Ko Somar? Rashi says, the Loshon Hazeh, you've got to say it in this precise language, Ukeseder Hazeh, and in the precise order that I am going to give it to you. I don't want anything changed. Not one iota. Everything that I tell you exactly as I say it, and in the order which I say it. And then goes on to say, Atem Risem Viato, and concludes his message, Eila hadavorim asher tedaber el bnei Yisrael posuk vav. And on the words Eila hadavorim, again Rashi says, lo pochos velo yoser, nothing less and nothing more. Again the repetition of this message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to Moshe Rabbeinu. What I am telling you, you have to adhere to, not one letter is to be added, not one letter is to be subtracted, in the order in which I give it to you, it has to be given up. So there seems to be a most major theme here, that Moshe Rabbeinu is being warned not once but twice in the course of the same instruction, I don't want anything changed. And of course the question is, what is the theme here? And here we refer yet again to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's all, in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov. And here you will appreciate that we are speaking about Yesodos of Matan Torah, Yesodos of Torah. Perish Rashi on the words Kosom Aleves Yaakov, says Rashi, Beloshen Azeh over Seder Azeh. And when it says Eila Hadavorim, says Rashi, Lo Tochos Velo Yoseh. Says Rabbi Yankov. V'tzorich Livayir, and it is necessary to explain, Amai Hikpid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu so particular? Lo Tochos, Lo Yoseh, no, not take away nothing, add nothing. V'chein, and why was he particular? Koloshen Azeh, Keseder Azeh. Says Rabbi Yankov as follows. Vihine Omru Razal b'Meseches Shabbos. He's going to offer us two answers to this question. The first answer is based on a statement in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, on the words Vayisyasavu b'Sachti Sohor, and the Jewish people stood. The normal translation is at the foot of the mountain. However, as we know, Rashi quoting Chazal in Shabbos says Melameid Shekofo Aleim Har Kegigis. God suspended the mountain over their head. The Yayin B'Taisus. If you look at Taisus in Gemara Shabbos, you will see there, Shehikshu, they have a question. Why does God need to threaten them? If you accept my Torah, all will be well. If not, then you will be buried here. What does he need to do it for? Hokvar Hikdimu Nasevanishma. The Bnei Yisrael have already joyously accepted the Torah, so why is there a necessity to coerce? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to suspend the mountain over them? Fitiritsu, and Tosfos answers the following way. Shema yihiyu chozerim, because there is a possibility, even after they've said Nasa v'nishma, that they will retract their acceptance and their willingness. Kishayiru ho'esh hagadola, then they will see the enormous fire which comes onto the mountain at the moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to give the Torah, Sheyotzes Onishmosam, at which time it is recorded that their very souls went out. That's the taste. That Nasa V'Nishma is not sufficient. Why? Because even having said Nasa V'Nishma, there is still the possibility that they would retract their willingness to accept when they would be confronted with the fire of such an enormous magnitude which preceded HaKadosh Baruch Hu's descent on Har Sinai. That's Taisus. Says Rabbi Yaakov, what does Taisus mean? Says Rabbi Yaakov as follows. V'hanire b'viur hadvorin. This is genius. I explain this answer of Taisus in the following way. Based on the words of Antigonos Ish Socho in Pirkei Yom. The Pir Mishnah says, Al tihiyu kavorin hamisham ishimisurav almanos l'kabiz brah. Do not be like servants who serve on condition to receive reward, but rather be like servants who serve on condition not to receive a reward. And the Mishnah concludes, V'yihi moreh shomayim aleichem, and may the fear of heaven be upon you. So the shaila is, what does the last sentence of that Mishnah contribute? The earlier part of the Mishnah seems to encourage us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishma, not with any thought or any ulterior motive of material gain or whatever. But the Mishnah concludes, V'himo l'shamayim aleichem, may the fear of heaven be upon you. Says Rabbi Yankov, U'biyarti b'chidushi l'pirkei Yovos shom, and I explained in my commentary to Pirkei Yovos, she'be'emes tzerichim l'shnei ho'inyonim, that we need both the exhortation to serve God from love and the exhortation to serve God from fear. Because the earlier part of the Mishnah exhorts us to serve God from love without any thought of benefit. And the latter part of the Mishnah exhorts us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from fear. V'himo l'shamayim aleichem. Why do we need both? He says, Parshas. Hainu. Ho'avod o'miyahavo v'ho'avod o'miyira. We need to serve God from love and we need to serve God from fear. Why? Because there are times, lo tasfik lo ho'ahava, where serving God from love is not sufficient. Ulefa'omim techolesh etlo hayira, and there are times when fear may also become weakened. The truth of the matter is, as he explains over there, and in reality it's taken from the Bartanura to that Mishnah, what Rabbi Yankov is saying is very simple. The quality of serving God from love is realized in our performance of the positive commandments. Serving God from fear is realized in our performance of the negative commandments. Because negative awe, by its very nature, brings about restraint, moving back. Love impels. Fear restrains. So therefore, when we are told to serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu from love, that is in reference to how we should perform the positive commandments. But in regards to the negative commandments, the dominant theme is Yirah. And now is not the time. Yirat Hashem will have an opportunity. The Ramban on Zocharis Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho in this week's Sidra explains that the theme of the Mitzvah Saseh is Ahava, and the theme of Mitzvah Lo Saseh is Yirah. And because Ahava is a higher midah than Yirah, that is why we have the general principle in the Talmud that Aseh Tilchelelza, that the positive can set aside the negative. And it's the Yerushalmi in Brachos, as well as the Divrei Shol points out that Midas Ahava is Mitzvos Aseh, and Midas Yirah is Mitzvos Lo Saseh. So look what's happening here. When the Bnei Yisrael said, Naaseh V'Nishma, that is an acceptance of the Torah Meyahava. But to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely, one needs not only the Midas HaAhava, but also the Midas HaYira. So therefore there is no contradiction between the fact that after Bnei Yisrael had said in their most enthusiastic form, Naaseh V'Nishma, which represents Midas HaAhava of the highest order, it is no contradiction then for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put Kopo Aleim Har Kegigis and to say you've got to accept the Torah, because there HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making them accept not the Ahavas HaTorah but the Yirah. No contradiction whatsoever. Says Rav Yankin, V'lochein, and therefore Afal Vishekvar Kiblu Alatzmones HaTorah Miyahavo Naaseh V'Nishma, even though the Bnei Yisrael had already accepted the Torah Mei Ahavo by responding Naaseh V'Nishma, Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, Meyiro Lo Nisu, they had not been tested and tried as to how they would accept the Torah in the area of Yiro. The Alzeh Ramza Hoesh Hagadola. And that's what Tosfos meant when they said, Einoch Inami, they've heard, they have responded Naaseh V'Nishma. But there was always a problem that when they would see the Eish Hagadola, which was fear, out of fear they might back away from Torah, because they had not as yet accepted the Torah Mitzad HaYira. And if they hadn't accepted the Torah Mitzad HaYira, there was always the possibility that when something came out which frightened them, that that fear would dominate more than their fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they had to have the Kofu Aleim Har Kegigis in order to make their acceptance total, Mitzad HaAhava and Mitzad HaYira, so that even when the Yesh HaGadola would come about, there would be absolutely no hesitation in their total commitment to accepting the Torah, and that particular test would be passed with flying colors. Ukamosha Kosu Baparshas Veschanan, and in fact the idea that the Eish represents the test of Midas Hayiro, it says in Veschanan, Min HaShomayim Mishmiyachu Es Kololi Yatzeko, V'es Isho HaGadolu Etz. Hareshe V'yer HaKosu. So what do we see? We see that the Torah has already indicated to us that the purpose of the fire was in order to bring to their attention the Yiras Ha'onesh. So therefore, now that they have made their acceptance Mitzad Midas Ha'ahava, it is appropriate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to complement and to supplement that acceptance by Kofu Aleim Har Kegigis, which brings in the Midas Ha'yira, and that supplements the Midas Ha'ahava, which they themselves have evinced. Now the Rabbi Yaakov says like this, V'ilmol e'bo'u li'esav y'shmoel v'kfiyas ahor, gam ken hoyu mekabelim es HaTorah. Had God come to Yishmoel and Esav, to their descendants, as is related in the Gemara Navid Azorah, and had God suspended the mountain over the heads of those nations, they would have accepted the Torah. Of course. Kidiyomrin in the Perikam of the Avodah Zorah, as is mentioned in the Gemara of Avodah Zorah, that in time to come in Mashiach Zeiten, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the nations of the world and say, you didn't accept my Torah, and the nations will reply, Klum kofiso arino hakegigis velo kibalnua. Of course we didn't accept. You didn't force us to accept, like you forced the Jewish people to accept. Shlechlechura, they have a timer. Seemingly they have a valid complaint. You suspended the mountain over the heads of Israel and said to them, you don't accept, but you didn't suspend it over our heads. Mashma, from which it appears, She'oz the vadai hoyu mekablimus, that the nations of Yishmael and Esav would have accepted the Torah. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not suspend it over their heads? As they say in the modern Jewish parlance, zelo fair.
Right.
Hello, what is the answer, says Rabbi Yankel? She'oz hoyeso avodo meyiro avalo meyahava. To accept it from fear, you can achieve by putting the mountain over your head and say, listen here, friend, either or. But Yiro on its own is not sufficient basis on which to have a Torah and to accept the Torah and to observe the Torah. It's only half of the coin. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to these people, of course I didn't suspend the mountain over your heads, because Yiro I can force. Oh, but what about Ahava? So when I know that there's going to be no response from you of Nasev and Ishma, so the Yira on its own is no good. It is only appropriate for Kofarim HaKegigis, for those people who have already accepted the Torah Mitzad Ho'ahavo, then you complete the acceptance by infusing the theme of Yira. But if there was no Ahavo to begin with, then Yira on its own is valueless. So therefore he says, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't suspend the mountain over their heads is, then the acceptance would only have been mitzad ayira and not mitzad ohava. Masha ain't ten Yisrael, which is not so with Israel, the meyahava kiblu o meyatmom, who already accepted the Torah meyahava. Ukefiya sahor, and therefore the second stage of suspending the mountain over their heads, horosorak kedele kabbalo gam meyira, was so that they should also accept the Torah meyira. Avolim lo hoyu mekablim mitzidom meyahava, lo hoyu nosinim lo hemesat Torah legamrei. But had Israel not come forward and indicated their willingness to accept the Torah meyahava, there is no way they would have got it. Because kofar aleim harkegigis can only infuse the theme of Yira. It cannot invent the theme of Ahava. Ahava has to come from inside. Yira can come from outside. So the nations of the world who didn't show this midas ohava, for them hokof aleim hakegigis is half of nothing. Masha ain't kein bnei Yisrael, who are already indicating their willingness to accept mitzad ohava, there it is appropriate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to suspend the mountain over their heads and to infuse in them the theme of Kabbalah Hatorah Meyira. Now, having accepted that axiom, we can now understand why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to alter one iota from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him to give whatever it was, whatever message it was, to Bnei Yisrael. The nearer, and it appears to me, therefore, in the light of the foregoing, Shemitam Zeh, for this very reason, Sideir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Estevorov El Bnei Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordered his words to Bnei Yisrael, the Sivohu, and commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, Shelo Yichos V'Shelo Yosif, not to take away and not to add. Why? Put it in my words, and then we look inside. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his desire to have the Bnei Yisrael accept the Torah, might feel, because of that intense desire to have Bnei Yisrael be mekabel the Torah, he might go into extreme eloquence and use every possible means at his disposal to persuade Bnei Yisrael to accept the Torah. But if he would do that, then their Kabbalah would not be mitzad ohava. It would be because Moshe Rabbeinu's oratorical skills had been persuasive. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was most anxious that the response of the Bnei Yisrael be such as to indicate that they were accepting the Torah mitzad ho'ahavo, and no other reason. Not because they liked Moshe Rabbeinu, or not because they were persuaded by his powers of oratory, or because he put it forward in such a way that they found it impossible to refuse. It has to be done in a minimal fashion, so that when the Bnei Yisrael do respond, it becomes apparent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they are responding mitzad midas ho'ahava, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see the midas ho'ahava, then he cannot go ahead with the kofu aleim harkegigis. Because kofu aleim harkegigis is only appropriate if the midas ho'ahava has already been shown. Ki choshash, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say don't change? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was particular, pen yashpia Moshe aleihem, lest Moshe Rabbeinu want to persuade them, shi yikablu es haTorah, mitoich eze his pilot, He was afraid that Moshe Rabbeinu would wax eloquent and try to get them enthusiastic about accepting the Torah and be persuaded by powers of speech. Ayyidei hashpo'oto shel Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the influence of Moshe Rabbeinu, below mitoch hakor apnimis, and not because inside they recognize the importance and the beauty of Torah. That's my first answer, Dr. Piatti. The first answer is, you can't change one iota, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to find out whether they are accepting the Torah mitzad midas ha'ahava, or whether they are accepting it for other reasons, which, although they may be laudable, will not show that it is midas ha'ahava, which is at the root of their acceptance. That's the first reason. Number two, says Rav Yaakov the Pasch, Gam nisnase Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashol. This instruction to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't change one word, this is a necessary moment of trial for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because this chapter, your test, is a prelude to Matan Torah, not only for Bnei Yisrael, but also for Moshe Rabbeinu. And you know and I know that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us is the Torah that he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that there are thousands and hundreds of drushes that have been built on a word which has a superfluous letter, on a word which is minus a letter, on words which are apparently in the wrong order. And we have to know that Moshe Rabbeinu is that type of prophet who has not altered one iota of what Hashem tells him. It's in our mind. As to whether in between the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to us, he decided to exercise a little poetic license and put in a word and take out a word. Then there is a doubt in our minds as to whether Moshe emes v'sor also emes. So the first axiom that has to be established for Moshe Rabbeinu to be worthy to be the intermediary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bnei Yisrael in regards to the giving of the Torah, is that Moshe Rabbeinu should be tested as to whether he is prepared to give instructions to Bnei Yisrael without altering a percent of a percent of a percent. So therefore, the second reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't change, don't alter, Gam nisnata Moshe Rabbeinu olav hasholem, because in this Moshe Rabbeinu is being challenged. Ad kamo magas ne'emonuso. How far does his faithfulness and his reliability go? Sheyuchlu limsor ha-Torah al yodoli Yisrael. As a personality worthy of transmitting the word of God to Bnei Yisrael. Why? It is a period of trial. Let's look at it from Moshe Rabbeinu's point of view. Does he not want the Bnei Yisrael to accept the Torah? Nothing will give him greater satisfaction, greater joy. So on the one hand, he feels tempted to add a word in parenthesis, to add an extra syllable, in order to get them galvanized into accepting. And on the other hand, he is being told, don't change. Don't say one extra word. Don't put it even in an inverted order. So it's a moment of trial. And if he comes through that test, then he is worthy to have the Torah given to him. Because in reality, according to the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing would give him greater joy than to have Israel accept the Torah. And if it were not for the fact that he is totally reliable, he would have been sorely tempted to add on an extra phrase, an extra word, in order to persuade them to accept. But had he added on an extra word, he wouldn't have been worthy to be the intermediary through whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the Torah. Because ki kama droshas onam otsiim meyitur shel os, because how many droshas are based on what appears to be a superfluous letter. Ve'ilu hayo Moshe mishane davar ma, and had Moshe Rabbeinu changed even one iota from what God told him to say, im kein ein hechrich shekach nema, then we would never, future generations, be able to say with complete confidence and assurance that the Torah that we have is the way he received it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zehu Nisoyon God. This was a moment of great trial for Moshe. That's a massacre. Absolutely a massacre. So the first reason why Moshe Rabbeinu cannot change is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to know that we are accepting the Torah Mitzad Midas Ohav. And therefore, everything must be down to a minimum and exactly as God has designed it, because God knows the prescription. How you detect whether it's Midas Ohav or not. And therefore you must stay close to that and not veer from that one moment. The second is, because it is a moment of testing, of trial for Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we have an opportunity to see whether Moshe Rabbeinu carries out what he has been told to the exact letter of what it is that he has been given or not. And that was the trial which Moshe Rabbeinu passed. I'm not going to go into the final paragraph, but just let me mention to you what Rav Yankov says, and then we move on to other matters. Rav Yankov then goes on to say that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished so severely by having his life's ambition taken away from him when he smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock at Chet Mei Meriva. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everybody to know that this is the single isolated case where Moshe Rabbeinu has given over something slightly differently from how he had been told it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the severity of the punishment was to assure Bnei Yisrael that this was an isolated instance, and never before and never after did such an item occur that Moshe Rabbeinu said something or did something slightly differently from how it had been communicated to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this, to my mind, makes a very wonderful introduction to Matan Torah. What I want to do now is to take something which many of you are aware of, but I'm sure many of you do not realize the origins. For those people who come in time for Kriyas HaTorah, of course. When it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, we have two types of neginos, what they call in the Sansino cantillation. Two ways of singing, the trot. We have what is known as the Tam HaTachton, which is actually a way of singing the Aseres HaDibros, which divides the Aseres HaDibros not into Dibros, but into Psukim. And then we have the Tam HaElyon, which divides, they are Neginos, which divide the Aseres HaDibros into Dibros. The Chizkuni refers to the Tam HaElyon as Neginos Gedolos, because they enlarge the length of the item. It's not divided into small Psukim, but into Dibros, which are larger. And he refers to the Tam HaTachton as Neginos Ketanos. And what I'd like to do is to draw your attention now to the Chizkuni and to offer one or two thoughts which may not be so familiar to you. Says the Chizkuni, Yesh Berov HaDibros. In the majority of the Aseres HaDibros, we have Shtei Neginos. Two types of Neginos. Why two? Lilamed, in order to teach you, Shebiyatzeres, that on Shavuos, Shehu Dugmas Matan Torah, which is the symbolic enactment of the receiving of the Torah, Umetargamin on Hadibros, on which occasion it is a custom to follow the recitation of each pasuk of the Shavuos laning with the appropriate Targum Unkelus. Come to that in a few moments. What do we do on Atzeres, on Shavuos? Korin we recite Kol Dibras, the entire Dibur of Lo Yihyeh Lecha, which consists of four psukim, but we recite it as one. The Kol Dibras Zochor, and the entire Dibur concerning Shabbos, Zochor is Yom HaShabbos Likadisho, we recite them B'neginos HaGedolos, that's the Tam HaElyon, through which Neginos La'asos Kol Achas Mehen Posuk Echad, so that each Dibur becomes one long verse. Why? Because on Shavuos, we are supposed to divide the Aseret HaDibros not into Psukim, but into Dibros. Shekol Achas Mehen Dibro Achas Liatzmo, because each item is a Dibro Achas. It's Aseret HaDibros. And therefore, lo yihiyah l'cholim achirim al ponoy, lo sa'atim l'chofesim l'chol temuno, lo zishtachav alehem, lo sovedeim, ki onochi. That's all one Dibur, and the Neginos have got to join the entire item into one Pasuk, as it were. And when we come to lo tirtzoch, lo tinof, lo tignov, and lo taneh, we recite them b'neginos haketanos, we recite them in the Neginos haketanos. Why? Because they are to be recited as if they are four separate pesukim, because they are four separate Dibros. They are four separate prohibitions. Avol b'chodesh Shabbat, but in the month of Shabbat, kishakorim b'parshas Yitzlo kishar Shabbos Hashono, when we are reading Parshas Yitzlo like we read every other sedra, korim lo yihiyah l'chov ezochor b'negino taketano. Then we've got to divide the Aseret HaDibros into psukim, and lo yihiyah l'chov has got to be read as four psukim. And Zohar Yom HaShabbos L'Kaddish has got to be read as a number of psukim, not as one dibur. La'asos mikolachas mihen dalet psukim, and the dibros lo tzitzoch, lo tinof, lo tignov, lo taneh, we've got to read them in the Neginos HaGedolos to make from those four statements one complete posuk. Why? Because there's no such a thing in the Torah as a posuk containing two words. When you're talking about dividing them, alpi the dibros, they're the dibur b'fnei atzmon. Each one is a separate prohibition. But if you're reading them al psukim, then you've got to combine lo tirtzoch, lo tinof, lo tignov, etc., etc., into one posuk, because when you read them al psukim, it is very well known in reading of the Torah that there's no posuk with two words. Shalom atzina b'chala mikro posuk b'shtei tevos chutz meyelu. U'b'shavuos dafke kamoshe pirashti l'malo. Only on Shavuos we divide the Kriyas HaTorah of the Aseret HaDibros into Neginos, which divide them into Dibros. Aye, Onochi and Lo Yihiyah Lecha are also read together, and they are two separate Dibros, so why are they read with Neginos, which join the two of them together, if they are separate Dibros? Says the Chizkuni Gam B'Dibros Onochi V'Lo Yihiyah Lecha Yesh Negino Gedola. Why? La'asos on Shteyem Posuk Echad. Why? Lezikro, so that we should remember, Shebedibor Echad Nemru, that they were said Bedibor Echad. Shoma Vazokar, Bedibor Echad. So, Chizkuni tells us the following, and so it is Minig Hagon, and Minig Eretz Yisroel, that when we are reading the Aseret HaDibros during the year, this coming week, Mitzvah Shem Parshas Yitzvo, Parshas West Hanan, when we are reading it then, we have to divide the Aseret HaDibros into Psukim. When we are reading the Aseret HaDibros on Shavuos, then the Aseret HaDibros have to be sung as Aseret HaDibros. 10 items and no more. And therefore we ignore the division into Psukim, and we divide the reading into Dibros. What we have to discover is, why is it that we make a distinction between the reading on Shavuos and the reading of the other Shavuos of the year, namely Parshas Yitro and Parshas Weskhanan? Where is the source that there are two ways of reading the Aseret HaDibros, which applies to no other section of Torah? Everybody knows it's the Tam O'Elyo. I'm not going to speak about the Halacha Shailas, why it is that in most of our communities, also in Parshas Yisro and Parshas Veschanim, we use the Tamu Elyon. But the Minig Agro and the Chizkuni is that on Shavuos it's Tamu Elyon, which divides it into Dibros. And on the rest of the year, Parshas Yisro and Parshas Veschanim, we are dividing them into Psukim. I came across something fascinating. There is a famous rabbi in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. His name is Rav Shlomo Fischer. And he was a Talmud of Rav Velvel Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And he suggested a source for the distinction between the Tamu Elyon and the Tamu Tachton from a Gemara in Brachas. He calls it, it's genius. Gemara Brachas Dapei. Okay? Simple Gemara, but it depends how you read it. As one chazan in Dublin said to Rabbi Herzog, why did I make a big fuss of you? Ich kenegel avek zetzen av ablak Gemara. So Rabbi Herzog had a sense of humor, doctor. Is Venzach Mishmim a Zetzach Avek? Is Venzach Mishmim a Heipzach Hu? Anybody can sit down to a black Gemara, but it depends how you get up afterwards. What has the Gemara done to you? Have you really discovered what it's all about? And this is a piece of Gemara which is very well known to many, many people, and yet there's a nuance here which is turns the whole thing upside down. Omar Rav Levi Bar Chama, Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Right? Levi Bar Chama says in the name of his teacher, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, my dichasiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yet nolecha, I will give you Es Luchos Hoeven, the tablets of stone, V'HaTorah, V'HaMitzvah, Asher Kosavti, which I have written Lahoro some to instruct them. So the whole pasuk says these rabbis, when it mentions Luchos Hoeven, is Elo Aseres HaDibros. That is a reference to the Aseres HaDibros. When it says the word Torah, it is their mikro, it's a reference to Chamisha Chumshei Seirah. The HaMitzvah refers to Mishnah. Asher Kosavti refers to Nevi'im and Kesuvim. Lehorosom refers to the Gemara. Melamed, say these rabbis or the Pasuk, the way we have interpreted it comes to teach you, Shekulam Nitnu Lemoshe Misinai, that all of this was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim, Mishnah, Gemara, everything. Ask Rav Shlomo Fisher, and I will give you Es Luchos Hoeven, Elu Aseres HaDibros, and Torah Zu Mikra. Are Aseres HaDibros not included in Torah? Why make a separate item out of Aseres HaDibros? It doesn't say, I will give you Luchos Hoeven, Kemashmoa, meaning I give you the stones. It says, Vetna Lecho Es Luchos Hoeven, Elu Aseres HaDibros. It's a reference to Aseres HaDibros. And then goes on to say, and I'll also give you a part from the Aseres HaDibros, I will give you Torah. Aseres HaDibros is part of Torah. Ah, you'll say to me, but the Aseres HaDibros is given on its own. So we have an opinion in the Gemara that the Torah was also given in pieces. Megillah, Megillah, Nitna. Was given in stages. And at the end of the 40 years, Moshe Rabbeinu put them all together. So it's not just the Aseres HaDibros which were given on their own. Most of the mitzvahs were given at separate times. So what is so special that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to announce to Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm going to give you the Torah, and I'm going to give you the Aseres HaDibros. The text of the Aseres HaDibros is the same in the Aseres HaDibros as it is in the Torah. Says Reb Shlomo Fisher to Reb Zelvel, the answer is as follows. The words are the same of Aseres HaDibros and Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aseres HaDibros to Moshe Rabbeinu in two forms. One in the form of psukim and the appropriate neginos, like the rest of Torah, whereby the Aseres HaDibros, like the rest of Torah, were divided into psukim, which is the way the Torah is written, and the neginos to accompany that division into psukim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Aseres HaDibros with the neginos of Aseres HaDibros, so that the Aseres HaDibros are divided not into psukim, but into dibros. That is why there is a distinction made between Torah and between Aseres HaDibros. Not in the text, but in the neginos. One neginos is to treat Aseres HaDibros like the rest of Torah, Zu Mikra, and we read it pasuk by pasuk. And Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Oseisicha Miyeres Mitzrayim is the end of the Pasuk. And Lo Yihyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai is another Pasuk. And then there is a division of the Aseres HaDibros, not into Psukim, but into Dibros. And that is only achieved by a different set of Neginos, which is the Tam Hoel. So the Makor of the Shlomo Fisher to the Belvel is in the Gemara in Brachos, that traces back the giving of the Aseres HaDibros in two forms. One as a chelik of Torah divided al pi the psukim, and one as Aseres HaDibros divided al pi the dibros. And Rav Zelvel said, thus it is. That's the makor of Tamo Elyon and Tamatachta. The Chizkuni says at the top there, you know why we read it on Aseres in the Aseres HaDibros form? Shehu dugmas matan Torah. Because on Har Sinai, we heard the Aseres HaDibros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Aseres HaDibros. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us in Matan Torah and gave us the Aseres HaDibros, the Pasuk says he gave it to us as Aseres HaDibros. Shomer v'zocher, Zivarecha.
It's Aseret HaDevarim, says the Pasuk in Sefer Devarim. So when we heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say it in the form of Aseret HaDivros. And therefore when we hear it on Shavuos, which is the enactment of Kabbalah HaTorah yet again, we have to hear it in the same way as B'nai Yisrael heard it on Matan Torah. For which reason, says Reb Shmuel Abuav, even though the Rambam says you shouldn't stand up when you hear the Aseret HaDivros, because that would seem to imply we're giving greater derecheles to the Aseret HaDivros than to the rest of Torah, which can raise all sorts of problems in the eyes of Apikursim, says Reb Shmuel Abuav, we don't stand when the Aseret HaDivros are read because we're showing greater respect to the Aseret HaDivros than to the rest of Torah. The reason why we stand, he says, is because when the B'nai Yisrael heard the Aseret HaDivros, they were standing by Yisyatzeva. So it's Dugmas Matan Torah that is involved here. But then the Chizkuni says something so interesting. And because on Shavuos, we want to enact how things were by Matan Torah, we have to say the Aseret HaDivros als Dibros, Umetargemin on HaDivros. And there is a din on Shavuos that every single posuk of the Shavuos laning has to be translated into Aramaic posuk by posuk. Where does that come from? What has that got to do with Matan Torah? Don't think that I'm making a plug for our Tuesday night Gemara Brachas here, but the answer is in the Gemara Brachas. The Gemara Brachas Daf Mem Hei. Follow carefully, please. What has the idea of having the person read the Torah and having somebody else be the mitargamon, of translating it and giving it over in another form? Where is the makor that this is the way things should be because we are remembering how it was at Matan Torah? Says the Gemara in Brachas Memhe, oh, my Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says, minayin, from where do we know? She'ein hamitargeim rashoi lehagbiakolo yosem in hakore. From how do we know whenever there is an Aramaic translation to be rendered posuk by posuk after the person who is the Baal Kore, that the mitargamon should not raise his voice on a higher level than the person who has been reading from the Torah itself? Answers the Gemara, Moshe yedaver v'ho Elokim yanenu b'kol, which was by Matan Torah. Moshe yedaver v'ho Elokim yanenu b'kol, says the Gemara, Shein Talmud Loma b'kol, why did it say v'Elokim yanenu b'kol? Why say the word b'kol? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also said whatever he said, b'kolo shel Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Baal Kore, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Metarge. Says the Chizkuni, you know why there's a din to be Metargame with the Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos? Because it's Dugmas Matan Torah. So you'll say to me, what has a Metargame got to do with Shavuos? What's it got to do with Matan Torah? The answer is because of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted as the Baal Kore, and Moshe Rabbeinu acted as the Metargame. And if we want to conduct our services and our Kriyas HaTorah the way it was at Matan Torah, which is Dugmas Matan Torah, which is what the Chizkuni says, then not only have we got to do it in the form of Aseret HaDivros and not Posuk Posuk, but we also have to follow each Posuk with Targum, because that is the style which HaKadosh Baruch Hu adopted together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Reb Zev Wolf Heidenheim, Zecher Tzadik Levrach, the author of Havonat HaMikra, one of the great scholars of our people, says Reb Zev Wolf Heidenheim, when I came across this statement of the Chizkuni, that there is an Inyan, Dafka on Shavuos, of being the targeting the Kriyas HaTorah, I did a little research, and I came upon a Magzer dating from the Hebrew date of the year 5018, 750 years ago. And in that Magzer I came across the following, that the Seder of Kriyas HaTorah was like this. B'chodesh ha-shilishi l'tseis b'nei Yisrael b'yeretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh bohu midbar Sinai. That's the opening pasuk of Kriyas HaTorah for Shavuos. And that's what the Baal Kore said. And then enter, right of stage, the Metargame. And the Metargame, before he started to translate the first pasuk, into Aramaic began with a prayer. Akdamos lilin b'shar Yeshus. And the Akdamos was the introductory comment in praise of the Torah recited by the Metargim before he proceeded to translate the first pasuk of Kriyas HaTorah for Shavuos. That was the prayer that he offered, the Akdamos Milin, which extols the Torah and describes the reward that waits for Tzadikim Liyosidlov. Now, says Reb Wolf Heidenheim, we have discontinued the Metargim, that particular practice, for reasons that we're not going to go into at the moment, but what has remained is the Akdamos. We'll talk about Yitzhak Piskom some other time. But the Akdamos is a relic, quote unquote, of the time when congregations used to have the Metargim, Dafka on Shavuos, to translate each pasuk from Lashon HaKodesh into Targum Unkelos. So here we have a most unusual insight into how various things that we didn't realize all of a sudden come together. The Gemoros and the Minhagim, and as far as the Akdamos is concerned, a source now for a very well-known tefillah. Let me just conclude, I have said it before, but I'll say it again. Let me conclude with a most elegant and beautiful interpretation of the second of the Dibros, of the Aseret HaDibros. Lo ta'asel echofesel v'chol temuna, asher v'ashamayim imal, v'asher v'oretz mitochas. Which we usually translate as, do not make for yourself a graven image of that which is in the heavens above and that which is on the earth below. That's the usual accepted translation, and who am I to argue with the accepted translation? Says Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I would like to offer the following interpretation of those words. Lo ta'aseh l'chofesel v'chol temuna. Don't make yourself a copy of somebody else. Don't make yourself an image of somebody else. Lo ta'aseh l'chofesel v'chol temuna. Don't just set out to copy somebody else, to be a mirror image of someone else. Be yourself. But I give you two answers. Asher v'ashamayim. When it comes to heavenly matters, nima'al. Only look on those people who do more than you do and keep more than you do. Basheb oretz. And when it comes to material goods, mitachas. Only look at those people who have less than you have. Lo sa'asel achofesel v'choltebun. Don't imitate, emulate. Chagavalti gavot. Don't set out to be an imitation, a carbon copy of somebody else. Nachashvat ha'kabal mizakereko. No good. None. Just to imitate is no chokhmah. Everybody was born to be an original. The Eitzah HaYutzo is Asher Bashamayim Mimal. When it comes to heavenly matters, Mimal. Look at those people who know more, who keep more. Asher Ba'oretz, when it comes to material possessions, Mitachas. Look at those people who have less. Unfortunately, we have the very reverse. People say, no, I may not be such a tzaddik, but I can tell you, he's even worse. It's what they call relative ethics. As little as I keep, he keeps less. And the Rambam says it's one of the 24 things on the Yakovitz HaTshuva. When you look at all those people, I see them coming into shul. I say to myself, what are you talking about? I can tell you what they eat and where they eat it. Look at those people who have gone through shas. Look at those people who are makpid to daven tefillas ma'ariv v'tzibur, tefillas mincha v'tzibur. Mimal. V'ashev ha'oretz, and when it comes to material matters, don't look at the people who have more. Mitacha. Look at the people who have less, and they manage. And they don't complain. And you're continually looking and looking, nochamal, nochamal, nochamal. Because the truth of the matter is, satisfaction does not depend on what you have. Satisfaction depends on your rotzon. U'maspia l'chol chai rotzon. The maspia is the rotzon, not the amount. And these are wonderful, wonderful thoughts. There's a very majestic, and something which I don't tell to other people as often as I try to tell to myself. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, it's a very big mistake to think that people should think that the only mitzvah is for the rabbi to speak to other people. The mitzvah of the rabbi is to speak to himself. It's hocheach, hocheach, es amisecha. You should rebuke es amisecha. Amisecha is your neighbor, your fellow Jew. What does es come to include? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, es comes to include yourself. So we have to say these things out loud. It's part of the shiur. But each and every one of us should say to ourselves, especially now, I don't say the words ill-advisedly. They're difficult times. difficult times for lots of people. But you have to remember, we have to distinguish between necessities and luxuries. Man de yohiv chaya yohiv mezona. Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of those people to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of those people to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given life, He has given them the ability to be sustained. He has given us what we need. He has given us, Baruch Hashem, air. He has given us water. And He has given us food. Nobody said there has to be a minimum of 3 overseas holidays a year. That was not in Mandi Yohiv Chaya Yohiv Mezona. We have to remember, last year's luxuries are this year's necessities. It's a very, very sad situation. That is why many people are hit so hard now. Because they've got used to a lifestyle which they cannot sustain at this particular time. And because they have always enjoyed it, so they miss it when it's not there. Whereas the people who have had a more modest lifestyle, recessions come and recessions go. Because they are continually looking on people who have less, they still have a piece of bread for the Orem Aman, and they still feel happy with what they have, a Samech Bechelko, Ezehu Osher. And they leave no scandals behind when they go in whatever way they've gone. Rahame Ben Yovin, and we leave it over here.